We focus on the transfiguration of Jesus today, the gospel reading. To start, I read the testimony from Peter, from the epistle reading, 2 Peter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Congregation may be seated. The Christians don't have to wear the sunglasses. Jesus' divine brightness and glory was seen that day, but not the days before and not the days after. It was a different day, a special vision God gave Peter and James and John. And it's very helpful for us to remember what was happening before this day and after this day. What was the point? What was the glory that was happening here? Now, I have written down there on the back, very back page, a few notes. This transfiguration is recorded in Matthew chapter 17. Right before this, several things happen. Matthew chapter 16, several things happened. That was where Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do people say that I am? John the Baptist, one of the prophets." They say various things. And then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And I have written down there from the scriptures, Matthew 16, starting at verse 16, "Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind in earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ." Peter's confession that Jesus was the promised Savior, the Christ, was correct. And it was not a man-made idea, Jesus said. "It is revealed to you from heaven." You're right, Peter, exactly right. And this confession that this Jesus of Nazareth is Christ will stand forever. Not even the gates of hell stands against it. Now, if you continue in that chapter, right after that confession of faith, Jesus starts, he says, starts to teach that the Christ must suffer, die, and rise again. And I have it just paraphrased there or shortened there. Peter rebuked. Now he rebuked Jesus. "Jesus, don't talk like that." "No, yeah, I said you're the Christ, but you're not. You can't talk about suffering and dying." "No." And Jesus rebuked Peter back. And Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." The things of God were that the Christ would suffer and die. The things of man was some other idea that Peter had. And then there's a section that Jesus teaches his disciples that whoever must be saved must follow him even to death. Whoever would follow Jesus must take up his own cross and die for the sake of Jesus. Not only did he say, "Peter, stop your talking, I will die, I will rise again," Not only did he say that to Peter, but he said, and you also will follow me and be willing to give up your life. Although it happened, and Jesus looked normal, not bright and shiny, normal. The next thing that happens is this transfiguration. So Peter and the other disciples said he is the Christ. That was right, revealed to them from God. But Peter did not like hearing that the Christ must suffer and die. No. But Jesus said, no, you're wrong, Peter. I will suffer and die. And in fact, you, for my name, will suffer. Then the transfiguration. Then the sunglasses day. And he chose these three disciples to go up the mountain and see him. And Moses and Elijah were there from hundreds of years beforehand. Interestingly, if you remember your Old Testament stories, Elijah did not die. He went to heaven in a fiery chariot, straight to heaven. And Moses, it says that at the end of Deuteronomy, towards the end of Deuteronomy, it says, God buried Moses. That's all it says. Something different or special, or that's what Joshua recorded. But they appear with Jesus. And now Jesus is bright. And there are, it's a wonder. Make it stay like this, Jesus. Let's put up a tent for you three. Let's stay like this. Maybe it's so bright he wanted them in the tent. Luke records in the Transfiguration that Jesus and Moses and Elijah were talking about Jesus' departure into Jerusalem. His departure. Jesus and Moses and Elijah were talking about Jesus' death and resurrection. And the Father says, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The Christ in glory. The Christ in glory talks about his death and resurrection, his departure. What is the glory of Jesus? It is to save people. Peter, beforehand, he said Jesus was the Christ, but he wanted Jesus to be a king or overthrow the Romans or bring Israel back to glory or whatever he was thinking. He was not thinking about Jesus suffering and dying and rising again. But that was foremost in Jesus' mind. That is his glory. You notice, if some of you read the township news, I wrote about this. And these words are amazing words. When this father spoke to them, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. I think it's Mark records they fainted, they fell down here. It was too much. You want proof of God on all his glory? You can't take it. Not even sunglasses will be enough. You'll have to fall down. And they were afraid. But then after the father gives a testimony and witnesses to Jesus that this is the one, this is my son, listen to him. What does Jesus do? It disappears. He brings them up. And he says, rise and don't be afraid. And then those words. And they saw Jesus only. They saw Jesus. The Father wanted their attention on Jesus Christ, who, yes, had all power and glory and authority. But even in the shining glory and authority, he spoke about his departure, his suffering and death and resurrection. That was Jesus' focus, is to save sinners. Not for sinners to remain terrified and afraid, but to save them. And when his three disciples saw all that glory and heard the voice, they fell down. He says, don't be afraid. He is the glorious Jesus, yes, but he is the Jesus who saves and who is gentle and who took our place, suffering for our sins. Think about it. In this reading, in Matthew, what are the first words that Jesus says after the Father spoke? The Father said, this is my... I'm going to get it right. I'll read it directly. Voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. Listen to him. Big voice. And what does he say? Rise and have no fear. Think about when you wear sunglasses the next time. That bright, shining Jesus. And after the bright, shining Jesus was dimmed away, he looked normal again. He said, rise, have no fear. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus, take our fears away. Give us faith to know and trust above all things that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and even our Savior. But in all your glory and power, you speak to us to rise and have no fear. Help us to believe those words from you, and then to follow you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior. Amen.